Welcome to the Midday, Brian Wallach.
Good afternoon, Norm.
And you are performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight already. Gosh.
That's right.
Emperor Concerto of Beethoven.
Yes.
That's one that starts right out of the gate. The piano right there.
It does. Yes, it's in fact really the second piece that starts out of the gate in a very different way. The fourth piano concerto is the very first piece that sort of starts the piano out the gate, but very slowly in that work. But he decides to flip things here in the fifth, and the piano comes in with a huge cadenza.
It's just a big concerto. I mean,
it's
Beethoven,
a big piece,
of course,
yes.
Didn't give it that name, Emperor, but it's aptly applied.
Right. It's in this sort of middle period, which is often called the heroic period, so it very much encapsulates this type of writing that he was doing at this time.
What are the challenges for you as the pianist in this? Anything in this concerto compared to another that would make this one, I've got to deliver this?
Right. Well, I like to compare this piece to the fourth concerto because they're very different works. And in a certain way, in this piano concerto, I feel the soloist often has to sort of step out of the way of the music. It's very straightforward.
But you're making the music.
You're making the music, but it's very easy to get in the way and do too much with the phrasing. The phrasing is very carefully constructed, and I've heard this piece played many times by many different artists, some great, some not so great. And, you know, sometimes the famous guys that try to do too much with the phrasing, you just get sort of seasick. And I feel this piece, it just starts and then it ends, you know. It's just sort of one experience. And where in the fourth, I think there's many places you can sort of stop and smell the roses with a lot of the phrasing. This piece, if it flows, it just has a magical sort of majestic quality that I'm trying to, anyway, bring to my interpretation of it.
Now, I'm tempted to say, on the other extreme, you have what I usually think of as being the less than virtuosic piano music of Haydn.
Hmm. Yes, well, you know, in his day, it was quite virtuosic, actually. Compared to many of the things that we have now, it's certainly not. But even in the Haydn Sonata that I've recorded, there's certain technical little things in there that are actually really hard, in a different way than maybe some of the other pieces we'll listen to. But it's a different kind of music.
So what would we be hearing in this finale of this sonata in C, one of many Haydn piano sonatas?
In the finale, it's just a short little dance. It's a cute little almost scherzo, and it was typical of the time period to write these little short third movements. The first movements are the sort of the big statement movements, and then this is just a concluding little finale.
Haydn loved those dances, didn't he?
He did.
So this is Brian Wallach with the finale, the Allegro, from the sonata in C, by Haydn.
Thank you.
Well, that's charming stuff. A finale to the Haydn's Piano Sonata in C, played by my guest today, Brian Wallach. He's in town to perform tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra, the Beethoven Emperor Concerto, and also it's an all-Beethoven program, so you get Lenora Overture No. 1, maybe the least frequently heard of those four overtures for that opera, and then you get also Beethoven's Symphony No. 7 in A, which was so influential. You have to bring something considerably different to a composer like Debussy, don't you?
Yes, well, he brings the difference himself in many ways with his harmonic language and with what he was trying to attempt. But in comparison to a lot of, let's say, Beethoven works, Debussy's idea was to paint pictures often with music. And in this piece that I'm going to play next, it's a picture really of a rainstorm in Debussy's garden.
Gardens in the Rain.
Yeah, Gardens in the Rain. And so, you know, it starts very quietly as the rain starts pitter-pattering and then builds into the storm and goes out with a flurry.
Do you have to be more of a master with the pedal when you play Debussy?
Absolutely, yes. The pedal is... Well, the pedal is very important in a lot of composers, but certainly in the French music, the real soul of what you can do with color is how you blend the sonorities.
The overlapping
tones.
So, Gardens in the Rain, this is from Estampe by Debussy, as played by Brian Wallach.
Thank you.
Brian Wellick with Gardens in the Rain. That's from the estampe, the etchings, engravings of Claude Debussy. And he's going to be performing tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra. Concert just about sold out, but I guess there might be some tickets left for that. And I know there's some opportunities left for you to support Wisconsin Public Radio. Back now with Brian Wellick, who's performing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight, playing the Beethoven Emperor Concerto. And he has a CD that includes everything but Beethoven, in a sense. It goes all the way from Haydn to Rimsky-Korsakov.
Yeah, no Beethoven on that disc.
Any Beethoven discs forthcoming?
I have to change. I've got a CD of another recital program that I'm hoping to record maybe next year at some point that has a nice Beethoven sonata on it. So next time we'll have Beethoven.
Well, this is great listening too, though. I mean, because it does have, and this is not a plug for the disc, but I'm just noticing, we sampled the Haydn piano sonata in C just recently. Then you have all of the Etudes Symphoniques of Schumann, which are wonderfully varied things, and it has that one theme that recurs so effectively. We just sampled from the Debussy. There are a couple of pieces we heard a couple of years ago, the horrendously difficult-sounding Liszt Horowitz Hungarian Rhapsody, or the Rákóczi March also, and then the Flight of the Bumblebee.
we're staying on the softer side tonight.
We're going to stay on the softer side, just for variety's sake.
Right.
Earl Koenig is on here, too, among the Schubert Liszt transcriptions. But on the more gentle and, let's say, productive side, positive side, we have Gretchen at the Spinning Wheel. And this is it is program music in a way, isn't it?
Yes, there's a story about how, I don't know if it's positive, but she's sort of singing about her lost love.
But she is getting worked on at the same time.
It is also picturesque, and you can hear the spinning of the music and how the spinning wheel spins and how it gets faster and faster and it stops at one point and she restarts the piece. So it's also quite programmatic.
And now, Brian Wellick with Gretchen at the Spinning Wheel. Originally a song by Franz Schubert and here turned into pure piano music by Franz Liszt. That's almost a fade out, isn't it, at the end?
Yeah, she stops spinning the wheel.
Is that it? It kind of goes quiet as she thinks about her romantic disappointments.
Right.
Well, no disappointments tonight, I'm sure, with the Emperor Concerto that Brian Wallach's going to be playing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra in between the Lenore Overture No. 1 and the Symphony No. 7 of Beethoven, with that wonderful march in it, and the really influential symphony of the century, you could say. Well, we'll look forward to your next visit.
Thank you. I'm also looking forward to.
And of course, people love the accent alone, but they would come to hear you play too.
Oh, well.
And so, pleasure having you with us again. And thanks for the CD also. We'll be glad to include that in our library and look forward to playing that, more from it.
Thank you.